The Biden administration announced 500 new sanctions against the Russian arms industry and other targets, including individuals responsible for the incarceration of the late Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who died under mysterious circumstances last week. The move comes as the world prepares to mark 2 years since Russia launched its full-scale war on Ukraine. Since the start of the war, millions of Ukrainians have been displaced from their homes. But in Ukraine's second-largest city, many are determined to stay. NPR's Joanna Kakissis has this report from Kharkiv.
I am Maxim. У нас в Харкові дуже класно.
Максим Тимченко is 7 years old. He's got big brown eyes and he's almost always laughing. He lives in a high-rise in Kharkiv with his parents and baby sister. And to understand Maxim, you need to know two things. He loves his hometown and he loves school. He's been learning English. As Maxim sings to us, he's interrupted. It's a sound he's very familiar with.
Attention, air raid alert.
That's an air raid sound, he says, and it's scary. What if the missile flies somewhere nearby and then explodes? Maxim says he hears explosions and air raid sirens all the time in Kharkiv, and he knows what to do. He drags out a fluffy mattress from the spare room into the hallway, which has no windows. And he crouches there, hugging a plush toy dog and his mother, Anna.
When the attacks are more frequent, he sleeps out here. He feels safer that way.
Thousands of school-age children like Maxim live in Kharkiv, a city about 20 miles west of the Russian border. Ukrainian schools are regularly hit by Russian missiles, so last year the city of Kharkiv opened classrooms in part of the subway system, which doubles as a bomb shelter. Maxim attends those classes twice a week. His mother says he looks forward to them.
He's very friendly, very kind, and very emotional. He wants to hug everyone. He just loves it.
The subway classes have proved so successful that Kharkiv made a radical choice to build entire subterranean schools. In a leafy neighborhood of apartment buildings, construction is nearly complete on one of those schools. It will house classes from kindergarten to 11th grade. Yevhen Pasenov is Kharkiv's deputy director for housing and communal services. He guides us down dusty, unfinished steps. He doesn't tell us how far down for security reasons. It took about 6 months to design the school, he says, and we started construction last September. It will hold up to 900 students. Downstairs is a long corridor that seems to stretch on and on. On either side are dozens of classrooms. Kharkiv's mayor wants to open the school this spring, so the workers here are really busy. Some install lights, insulation, and wheelchair-accessible ramps. Others sand and drill. Olha Velmozhna is a local city administrator. She points to a large room. We plan to have a place with beds there, where the young children can take naps, she says. And each room will have a play area. And Pasenov adds that each classroom will be painted a different, bright color. He forces a smile, and then his face starts to darken. Our biggest challenge is to preserve our city and not let Russia destroy it, he says. But our children, they are losing a normal life. Kharkiv's mayor is Ihor Terekhov. He wants to build 8 more underground schools in the city. He's trying to raise money. Each school will cost more than $1 million. We meet the mayor in a temporary office. He keeps moving around for security reasons to avoid being targeted by Russian strikes.
Obviously, it's not a sign that life is good if we're building schools underground. As you can see, the Russians constantly shell us. Just the other day, an entire family was burned alive. an entire neighborhood was destroyed.
About 1 million people live in Kharkiv. That's half of the pre-war population. Roughly 65,000 school-age children are also here. Terehov says the underground schools can accommodate only about 9,000. Meanwhile, he says, the city is also planning to build an underground theater. Others have already gone underground, like Serhii Zhadan, a poet, novelist, and musician, giving a concert here in his bunker. A Soviet-era bomb shelter under the university has also become a popular exhibition site. And a couple of local entrepreneurs drew up plans for small underground apartments. Plenty still happens in Kharkiv above ground, of course. Cars are on the road, vegetable markets are busy, restaurants and cafes are full, even if their windows are boarded up.
Like, you can't find a place, even during the week, in a cafe. Like, we can look around and there would be lots of people. So people are coming back.
Maria Mezentseva is a member of parliament from Kharkiv. She spends her time off in her hometown, delivering humanitarian aid.
Like, we can't accept the idea that we can give up. So the longer it goes, the more people get tired, of course.
Back at the subway school, Maxim and his classmates sing a song about spring and hope. He sits with Ksenia, a classmate who is now his best friend. Their teacher, Lyudmila Demchenko, says the children, too, are tired of this war.
They ask, when will the Russians stop bothering us? The children just want to take a walk in the woods or to swim in a lake. That's impossible now.
But, she says, they also like being home in their city. Teaching them underground is a way to keep them safe.
Kharkiv is known as the center of education, so this is not a defeat. It's a way to continue something that should be continued. Only if we stop will it be a defeat.
Class ends and Maxim and Ksenia take the bus home together. He reads aloud to her from a book about biology. And when Maxim's back home, he's ready for the next air raid siren. But as he waits, he decides to sing his favorite song. Joanna Kakisis, NPR News, Kharkiv, Ukraine.